Dr. Anderson is originally from New York City and attended Barnard, but then she went to the dark side. She attended Columbia University, Physicians and Surgeons, and is a board-certified pediatrician with an MPH in maternal child health from the University of Washington, and then she stayed there. She spent 5 years working in Mozambique, 12 years at the Washington State Medicaid Administration. She teaches in the Division of Evening and Weekend Studies at the Evergreen State College. Her interests are good ones: health equity, global health, and maternal child health. Go, girl. We're very pleased to have Dr. Nancy Anderson speaking.
No. I am a vampire.
I didn't know that.
Sorry you told everybody. Before I begin, I'm going to start with a question. How many people here have participated in vaccine campaigns or have been?
You might need to use the mic.
Thank you. How many? Can you hear me better?
It is on. Speak right into it. If you use it like an ice cream cone.
Okay. How many people here? No?
Yeah.
Okay. How many people here have participated in some way in vaccine campaigns or vaccinated kids? Okay, great. I'm hoping that at the end of this very short presentation, you will think a little bit differently about immunization than you do now. So, in the summer of 2012, please let me know if you can't hear me. I'm trying to arrange this right. In the summer of 2012, I had the opportunity to participate in the analysis of a research project that took place in three different countries, in Senegal, in Benin, and in Nigeria. The study involved surveys of traditional healers and focused on their perceptions of immunization, of general preventive care for women and infants, and also on specific practices that might or might not affect the uptake of immunization in the community studied. The goal was to use the information obtained to increase the uptake of immunization and to disseminate the results as broadly as possible to allow some changes in policy that might increase immunization uptake. So, like all research projects, this one had its set of stakeholders. They included Prometra. Prometra is the non-governmental organization based in Africa, representation in 26 countries that actually managed and carried out the research. And Prometra focuses on the integration of traditional healers into more mainstream biomedical structures in all of the countries. The second set of stakeholders was the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, who funded the research. And then the third and most important group of stakeholders were the traditional healers and other community leaders, more than 5,000 of which participated in and answered the surveys. There were two different kinds of surveys done. One involved focus group discussions, and the second involved individual surveys. I'm going to focus on the individual surveys. In terms of my own role, I was invited by Dr. Eric Badosu, who is the president of Prometra. My visit was also catalyzed by Dr. Natalia Canem, who is a distinguished pediatrician, public health researcher, and philanthropist. They invited me to come to Senegal to look at the data, offer my own insights and suggestions for further analysis, talk with the traditional healers who had participated, and also offer some recommendations for policy change. In terms of the development and execution, what was unique to these questionnaires is that key informants who were traditional leaders or other community leaders actually participated in the formation and development of the questionnaire questions. So what that meant was that they were able to come up with their own endogenous definition of immunizations. And this is the definition that was used in the survey and that you'll hear more about in the results. So to share the definition with you, for the traditional healers and leaders who participated, immunizations are not merely or even mostly the presentation of an antigen to a human immune system, what those of us who've done vaccine campaigns would call a vaccination. Rather, they are everything that we do to actually keep babies, children, healthy, to prevent disease and infection. The use of this endogenous definition meant that the questions actually made sense in terms of the community, and the answers also make sense in terms of their own definition. The survey results showed overwhelmingly that traditional healers and other community leaders support vaccination, which is kind of a surprise for many of us who've worked in the developing world. They support vaccination. Rather, they think vaccination is a minor component of the entire process of immunization. To them, immunization includes, number one, lots of emphasis on the maintenance and sustaining of adequate nutrition and food security to mothers and children. Number two, a variety of other culture-based practices, including rituals that we might call taboos, other rituals such as ritual baths, physical symbols of well-being that we might call charms or talisman, the use of traditional practices in labor and delivery that we might call vertical positioning at the time of delivery, and also the provision of other needed health services, both preventive and curative, including to those who are impoverished. The community leaders also insisted that in order for vaccine campaigns to be successful, they had to include the participation of all of the leadership from the inception, not just when we want to motivate the population to participate in the vaccine campaign. A couple of specifics that came out in the results that I'd like to share. In some ways, the results are similar to the community leadership really likes to do things that we like, too. So, for example, universal breastfeeding, yes. They were very interested in women being able to stand or stoop when they gave birth. For many in the biomedical community in the West, we also think that's important. They were interested in nutrition. We think that's important. In some ways, however, the results indicate that they have a very different belief system. For example, they believe that children should be given water and possibly other nutritional supplementation very early on in life. These are different. But the take-home message to me is that, in fact, their definition of immunization is comprehensive, is multifaceted, is very broad, and is socially based. In other words, it approaches what we think of as health, as everything that we need to attain health. Therefore, it is closer to what we know about what children need for child survival than the mere presentation of an antigen to the immune system. I found that there were three major take-home messages of this research. The first is that is actually a biomedical reflection, and that is that most of the leadership really support the idea of vaccination. However, using my own interpretation as well, advocating for vaccine is not an excuse for cultural arrogance or ignorance, and I'd like to offer a few examples of what vaccine will not do. It is not a substitute for adequate nutrition or food security. So here we have two of the very rich markets in Dakar, Senegal. When not everyone has equal access, in fact, children will not be saved by vaccines. Vaccines do not eliminate corruption or poor infrastructure. So, for example, thousands of children in Senegal are sent to fend for themselves on the streets of the city, ostensibly to be educated, but in fact at great risk to their mental and physical well-being. The beaches of Senegal are polluted because of poor infrastructure and, to some extent, corruption, putting at risk both animal and human life on the coasts. It is not the same as comprehensive low-cost health care. What you see here is a skit that took place in the final conference of dissemination of the results from the research. And you see a woman with her baby explaining to her husband that the baby's sick, that they need to go to the doctor. And you see the husband explaining to the woman that, no, we can't, because we don't have the money and it's too expensive. In fact, we're going to go to the traditional healer instead. And here you see the prices that it costs to actually go to a small hospital. And just a quick translation for you, to have a baby there costs the equivalent of $10 in a very poor country. And for that, you must bring the blanket for the baby, for yourself, what you're going to wear, hygienic supplies, etc. Vaccines do not make up for a lack of comprehensive health care. And for anyone, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but for anyone who thinks this is a particularly radical interpretation, I want to remind you of something. When German women were sweeping up rubble and taking to the streets with their dogs, when France was in ruins, when St. Mark's Cathedral was not a tourist attraction, and when the face of incipient Kwashiorkor was European, in other words, at the end of the Second World War, when 60 million people were dead, and millions more were disabled and homeless, when there was no infrastructure outside of the United States, the most powerful countries came together and decided that, indeed, health was comprehensive, was multifaceted, and had a social context. The Constitution of the World Health Organization in 1946 said that health was a complete state of mental and social and physical well-being. I'm going to end just with a few of the final slides from the dissemination campaign, where the results were shared with a large community in urban Dakar, which is where these results belong. I think that we can all agree, after hearing this, that immunization is indeed more than just a shot in the arm. And our vaccine campaigns will be a lot more successful when we do so. One last time, I'd like to thank Dr. Kanem, Dr. Bodosu, my own college for financing me, and of course the Gates Foundation for the original research. And I don't have any. Don't have it. Yeah. Thank you.
I was so caught up in your message that I lost track of time there for a minute. You're on time. We have time for a burning question, and save. Please write down your other questions for afterwards. Questions? Then may I ask you one?
Yes, you may.
I was very taken with the basic rights construct that you included in your thinking. Was that really a basis of it, or how did you come about to that end point? Was it through working that you got to rights, or through rights that you got into intervention?
Okay.
Simple question.
Okay. Well, I think what made this project rights-based from the beginning was really that the organization that carried out this research was an organization of traditional healers. In other words, a large, international, but community-based organization. But what the results were going to be was not known from the beginning. I think initially, the results that we all knew were going to come out did. In other words, people don't want you to vaccinate their kids if you show up and you treat them badly, if your equipment doesn't work, if you're incompetent. They're not interested in having you. The key result, the take-home message, is that, in fact, the community definition of what it takes to immunize a child is much more comprehensive than what we learned about, those of us who went to nursing school and medical school. It's different.
Thank you very much.